Bored with Friends, episode 36, Doctor Who.
Time of the Daleks.
I mean, I'm not allowed to tell that story because Zach wants us to stay on topic.
Stay on topic.
All right, well, we got a little off topic.
Again, 40%.
I'm lazy and I'm a mooch. What I do.
This is not that kind of podcast.
Welcome to Bored with Friends, the podcast that is bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. It's also about hobby gaming. I'm Zach Dyer, and on today's episode, I am joined by my wife, Vanessa Dyer, who you guys have heard before. Say hi,
Vanessa.
Hello. Yay. And for the first time ever, we are joined by my mother, Celeste Dyer. Hi, Mom.
Hello. Hi.
I've talked about you enough times on the show, as you have pointed out, and I'm a little upset by having you on because it means that probably a third of our listeners are now no longer going to hear it because you're probably our biggest listener. You know, one of, like, four.
Oh,
I can do math. That's a third, right? No.
No, not really.
Very nice.
Quarter, but...
So today is the much-anticipated review of Doctor Who the Board Game from Gale Force 9. We have only been talking about this game for the better part of 2 years now, I think.
Pretty much.
But before we get into that, we are going to talk about some recent plays. And, you know, Mom, being the first time on the show, how about you go first? What have you been playing?
Oh, what have I been playing? Well, I've been playing Potion Explosion on my phone, which is a great way to pass the time.
It is.
I am determined to get all of the achievements. I have not reached, obviously, 10,000 explosions yet, but I'm working on it. And I've also kickstarted my first board game.
Really? Which one have you kickstarted, Ma?
Well, I kickstarted Fire in the Library because as a librarian, I feel it is my duty to stop the fire in the library. It is by Weird Giraffe Games, who I believe you've interviewed a couple of times.
Exactly a couple, yeah.
It sounds really great, and I understand they reached their goal in 3 hours or something like that. It was great.
Something crazy, yeah.
Yeah, well, something crazy.
Carlo would be happy to hear that more people are kickstarting. So. Mm-hmm.
No, it sounds like a fun game, and you know, once we've played it a couple times, maybe I will donate it to the library, where everyone can save the library.
You didn't back at the donate level?
I did not.
Oh, so you're expecting me to donate it to your library?
You have donated games before, so perhaps that would be good.
I have, yes. Whenever Vanessa thinks that we need to cull the collection.
Well, you know, you can. I know you think you can... Your room in the basement is bigger than it looks, but
it's bigger on the inside.
But it's not actually.
But it's not.
Probably need to weed every once in a while.
Exactly.
Even librarians weed.
Yes, they do. So you mentioned the Potion Explosion app. I talked about it before on the show myself. I really liked it. What did you think of it? Like, you know, the game.
Oh, it's fun. I like it. I've been playing with two or three different AIs, and I just to try to, you know, it's more fun if you play with more players. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, you know, like I set goals for myself. Like, all right, I'm going to win this game without using, you know, getting a potion from any help from the professor, or I'm going to, you know, try to beat them by 30 points or something like that. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a great way to pass the time. It's a fun game. I like it.
I fall into a problem with this game because I tend to try to make the biggest explosion possible with no regard whether or not I need those colors.
Oh, no, I don't do that.
No, you actually play the game, it sounds.
I do. Well, unless I have one of those, the games that one of the potions that lets you turn the colors in your test tubes into whatever whatever potion you want.
That is a really cool power.
Whatever. It is great power, yeah.
Ness, have you played the Potion Explosion app?
Yes. And I agree. It's a really good way to pass the time. Lily likes it, too.
Yeah.
She likes the Potion Explosion game. And actually, even Evelyn's kind of into it, though it's a little too much for her level.
I think she's more on my level. She just likes to make explosions.
Right.
She does, yeah. She did try to play it with me once, but she got kind of distracted halfway through and said, you just do it, Mimé, so.
Yeah. And I'm sure you were willing to do that.
Oh,
it's a fun game.
I like it a lot. I think I recommended it highly before, and I still play it occasionally. I have it on my tablet and my phone. I quietly play it on break.
I think it's interesting to, because it is a board game, right? Not just an app.
Yeah, there's an actual board game of it.
Right. So there are some games that I've only ever played in app version. I just think that's kind of interesting. Like Potion Explosion, I've only played on the app. I don't even know what the actual physical board game looks like, but it's great as an app.
It literally has a rack with a lot of marbles, the colored marbles in it. And the rack, the rack shoots the marbles down, and you take out one, and if the marbles collide and they're the same color, you get to take those two. So there's no flashy special effects. The marbles don't actually explode.
Well, that's disappointing.
I know, right?
Well, it's just much easier to set up on your phone. You just click it.
Yeah.
It's true.
I've seen
and
the game.
It does the work for you. Yeah. It knows what colors have collided. You wouldn't have to keep track of that, which is nice.
Mm.
It's kind of like Splendor. Like, Ma, I know you have a copy of Splendor, but we've really only played in the app form. And
I play it on my phone. I have it on my phone as well, yeah.
Oh, you got both, yeah.
Yes, I have both.
Like, Splendor, we've only played in the app form, and I have no desire to buy Splendor because we played it so much as an app. Like, we played it a ton. Yeah. Same thing with Potion Explosion. As cool as the game is, I don't really think we need to own it. Shocking, right. I know, Ness.
I know. Keep this up.
So much easier to store games on your phone than it is in the closet.
You'd think
so
that,
true.
But then you run out of memory, and then you have to delete the apps, and then you forget about them, and then when you're scrolling through your Play Store and you realize, wow, I've bought a lot of board game apps, but I can't donate those to the library.
You cannot.
So keeping with the theme of, you know, nutty professors, I guess, Ness, what have you been playing?
All right, so you and Lily went to a board game convention. Which one was it that you got this game at?
At TotalCon.
At TotalCon. And you came back with this board game. It's called Dr. Eureka, which is perfect for our 7-year-old because she's really into science and she likes the idea of making potions. So Dr. Eureka is a game, and it says it's for kids 8 and up, but we found even our 4-year-old can kind of manage to play it. You have 3 test tubes in front of you with 2 purple balls, 2 reddish, orangish colored balls, and then 2 green balls. And then everyone has their 3 test tubes and their 6 balls. And the card is flipped in the middle and it's a certain pattern. So for example, the first test tube might have 2 purple on the bottom and a red ball on top of that. And then the next tube might have a red ball and a green ball on top of it. And then the last test tube has a green ball. And anyways, you have to just pour them to put them in the correct order. So it's conceptually very simple, but there's a lot of strategic thinking to it because you can't pour the balls out. They have to stay within the test tubes. So, you know, you might have to pour one in the wrong spot to eventually get it into the right spot. It's fun. It's really cute, and it's definitely great for kids, but even as a parent, I enjoyed playing it.
It's pretty challenging, I feel, because, like, we modified the rules a little bit for the girls. You know, if they drop the ball out of the test tube, we don't disqualify them for the round.
Right.
And you're right, with Evelyn, she was able to play it. But we had to, you know, she has to use her fingers a little bit just to make sure the balls don't fall out.
Right. Dexterity and whatnot.
But
fine
it helps
motor
her.
Skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it helps with fine motor skills.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the game. I thought it was a clever take on that, you know, do you remember that puzzle, Mom, in that game that Kristen had? It was the 3 tires, and you have to move them, you know, try to get them onto a different stack. It's kind of like that, like that idea. Mm-hmm. Or, as a Doctor Who reference, the Trilogic puzzle, like that. Really obscure Doctor Who reference. but the idea behind it, you know, of moving the test tubes back and forth, it's a lot of fun. And Lily latched onto the theme immediately when I was showing her the different games that, you know, were on sale at the convention, and they had a trio of these games from Blue Orange Games, I believe, is the publisher.
Yep.
And that one I had heard of. I hadn't heard of the other two, but I thought it was a fun idea. And it's a really cool toy element with the beakers and the molecules as marbles.
And also good just for, like, those pattern skills, you know, that mathematical part of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to think ahead. You know, if I put this here, then what's going to happen when I put that there? And it's a good way for kids to learn that kind of concept. And it's because it's a fun game.
Strategic thinking. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And both of them were getting it, which was really great. You know, the dexterity element aside, you know, they could get the patterns and figure out how to get them to where they needed to be. So that's Dr. Eureka. Anything else
to add
on it,
Ness? No, I think it was just a really cute little game.
Yeah.
It's great.
So moving on from cute little games, I recently got to play it's a pretty lightweight game, I would say, called Terraforming Mars from Stronghold Games. And my mother, who graciously gave this to me for Christmas, I was not expecting this game. It's widely regarded in the board game community. It's a very good game. So to bury the lead here, it's pretty cool. It's not light at all. In fact, it took us, I want to say, 3 hours to finish.
Wow.
But we had a full complement of players. I will never do that again. But what Terraforming Mars is, each player represents a company who is trying to spearhead the terraforming of Mars, because Earth is becoming overcrowded, and that would be the next logical place for us to go. So you're trying to use, through card play, raise the temperature on the planet, raise the humidity on the planet, get trees and things to grow on this planet and get wildlife on there, and eventually make it habitable for humans so that we can live on Mars as well. And this takes place over generations. As you play the game, you earn more money, you earn more resources, and you're able to slowly, you know, work as a team, essentially, to get Mars to the state where people can live there. But only one winner, because, you know, you're the most successful corporation as you earn prestige points. It was a huge brain burner. I lost spectacularly when I played this game. It was really bad how I did. But it was because I was trying to spread out and do too many things at once, whereas my fellow players were doing a good job at just focusing on specific spots and, you know, earning points that way. But it was a lot of fun. I do want to play it again, but like I said, with a lower player count, because I think with less players, it would actually go a little bit faster. I could be wrong. But
it always takes a long time to learn a new game, too.
It does, but I was
getting to know the game.
I think only two of us were learning. The other three had played it before. I got to play this at Conclave, which was the other convention I went to. And a friend of the show, Scott, was also playing, and a couple other people, Lou, who I had met also at a previous convention. He taught us how to play it nicely, and it was really cool. The only complaint I have about the game is the player boards are just a flat piece of paper. They're not really a board, and you have all these little cubes to represent the different resources and your own, you have your own color cube to use to, you know, claim territories on the planet, things that you've done. And one just slight bump of the table and all this stuff goes flying. It would have been really nice to have, like, recessed player boards or even trays to put this stuff in instead of this just flat piece of cardboard that just everything goes everywhere. Other than that, really cool game, Terraforming Mars.
Glad you like it.
I did like it. You know, next time we have a really long game night, I would probably introduce you how to play it.
I have a hard time with the really long games.
Yeah, I know. We try to fit in a couple small ones and things like that instead of the long
ones. Yeah, I like to mix it up. You know?
I tried to get this, get Sean and, you know, his group to play this game. Mm-hmm. But as I was going through the rules, I said, you know what? We don't have a long enough game night to do this. It was just too much. But I enjoyed it a lot. I think this is going to be one of those games that I play once in a while instead of trying to get it out more often. It took longer than Orleans. It took longer than some of the other games that, you know, we've said, wow, that's a really long game.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun.
That's good.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will head over to a rules breakdown of our review game today, Doctor Who, Time of the Daleks. Doctor Who, Time of the Daleks is a semi-cooperative dice manipulation game for 2 to 4 players, designed by Andrew Haught and published by Gale Force 9. In this game, players each take control of an incarnation of the Doctor, trying to work together to stop the Daleks from getting to Gallifrey and destroying the Doctor's timeline. This base game comes with 4 Doctors, the 1st, the 4th, the 11th, and the 12th, along with cards for all the appropriate companions and gadgets from each of the respective Doctor's eras. The objective of the game is to travel around the universe, solving time dilemmas that Daleks have caused as they mess with the Doctor's timeline. You do this by rolling dice and trying to match symbols on the dilemma to solve it, using your companions and gadgets to manipulate the dice and re-roll them. If a Doctor is successful, they get rewards like more timey-wimey cards or the ability to move their TARDIS further along the track towards Gallifrey. If they fail, then bad stuff happens. Daleks get placed out on the locations, depleting your dice pool. The Dalek ship could be moved further down the track. Companions could be dismissed, or, sometimes, the Doctor could be forced to regenerate. If you must regenerate, the players all change their Doctor to the next one in numerical order, but keep their companions and tools. This can mess you up a bit, because a lot of companions offer special abilities if they're with the correct Doctor. If a task is too difficult, you can always call for help from another Doctor. You can either have them come to you, and you both split your dice pool, or they can help you from afar, lending you one of their die. But be careful, if they come to you and you fail, the penalties are doubled. To win the game, one player must get their TARDIS to Gallifrey first, successfully using the Matrix to reset what the Daleks have done and stopping the chronological catastrophe. However, if the Daleks get there first, or if all the Dalek tokens come out, then it is game over. Doctor Who Time of the Daleks is packed with theme. It's easy to teach, the production is great, and it doesn't take up a lot of time to play. Let's get back to the rest of the friends and find out what we thought about Doctor Who Time of the Daleks. And we're back talking about Doctor Who Time of the Daleks from Gale Force 9. Doctor Who Time of the Daleks is a semi-cooperative game. I say that through gritted teeth. Everybody gets to be one of the incarnations of the Doctor. And this is the first, one of the first real hobby Doctor Who games that has come out ever, as far as I know. I know there have been other board games of Doctor Who in the past, but this is the first major one that, and in recent times. So let's get into this. We're all Doctor Who fans here, of varying degrees, I would say. not sure which one of us is the biggest, but...
Oh, who introduced you to Doctor Who?
I was going to say, I know which one's the biggest. It's not me.
Who's wearing her Doctor Who hoodie here?
I feel like I messed up. I wore a Thundercat shirt to this recording. But anyway, so the Daleks are trying to destroy the timeline and, you know, kill the Doctor and Gallifrey and all the Time Lords. What did we think of this? Mom, let's start with you. What did you think of them, you know, the components of the game when you first looked at it?
Well, I really like the attention to detail. I mean, each of the planet cards, some of them are planets. But they're all, I remember them from various episodes of Doctor Who. I like the way if you have, say, the 12th Doctor and you have Clara, then you have you get some extra help because she's the 12th Doctor's companion. Or same thing with if you had the first Doctor and you get one of his first companions, such as Susan. I like the way it seems to me it was definitely created by someone who's a fan because they know the Doctor. And it's not just the new, what do they call it, the new Who. It's also classic Who. So it's a mixture of both. So there's something for all fans. you know, I think the first time we played, it took us quite a while, but I think the second and third time went a lot faster because we knew what we were doing.
Yeah, we were also looking at the stuff too, like, ooh, look at that reference and stuff like that. That was cool.
It was fun to catch those little things, like, oh, I remember that episode, and oh, look, it's the meddling monk, or it's, I mean, they really delve deep into the Doctor Who mythos to get all of these different dilemmas and the planets and the thing and the companions. And I really do like that. Which was the companion? If you used her, she went away. Oh,
it was Idris.
Idris, yes. Yeah. See, I mean, just the way that worked. You couldn't keep her. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's the way Idris was. I mean, she burned out too quickly. I thought it was. Or if you had River Song, and you had a hat, you had to get rid of it. I mean, it was just fun.
That was my favorite. I remember picking up that card and seeing that it says, if you have River Song, you can't keep the fez or whatever.
Or any hat.
And I stopped for a second. I was like, what? That's... And then it clicked. And, of course, I thought that was hilarious. That was great.
It's those little attentions to detail. I thought that was really, you know, really helped the game be more than just, oh, we're going to defeat the Daleks and move around the board and get to the end. I think that it made it fun, much more fun.
I would have to agree. The attention to detail, the thematic elements that they put in, definitely, it screamed Doctor Who. Like, this was a love letter to Doctor Who. It wasn't just a pasted-on theme where they just said, oh, let's make a Doctor Who game. And they could have phoned it in, but they definitely made everything make sense thematically, even if it was a very dry mechanic, like, okay, we're you have these tools, you have these companions, this is what they do, they let you manipulate dice and change things, but it made sense. Like, they, you know, the companions did special things if they were with their doctor, but they also helped the other doctors too. And like you said, Ness, with River Song, with the hats, like, that's just a very clever joke that some people would probably think silly if they didn't get the show. The components of the game, I think, were mostly good. Like, I love the sculpts of the doctors. You only get four in the box, which is a gripe for later. But you do get, you know, these beautiful sculpts of each of the doctors, and they definitely look like them. The dilemmas and the planets and stuff like that, they come on nice, you know, cardboard, and it's got beautiful artwork and pictures from the show. And they didn't try to do just drawings of, you know, the events. They actually took the pictures. So, you know, some people might shy away because there's black and white photos from the first Doctor's era, but that's what it was. That's what they had. The only thing I felt like was a little chintzy was the actual TARDIS consoles that you get, because it was that flimsy, you know, really, really thin cardstock instead of something,
yeah,
you know, nice and
I agree with
quality.
You there. There's not much substance to those. Yeah.
But was those neat was the graphic design on it, though, because they made each one look like that Doctor's TARDIS. They didn't just make it one single piece.
Right.
It also didn't help that my copy didn't come with the first Doctor's TARDIS. But Gale Force 9 was very quick to send a replacement when I emailed them about it. So kudos to them for that. So we kind of touched on it when I asked this question. But what about the actual gameplay mechanics? Like, this game plays, I felt, very similar to Elder Sign. It's a dice rolling game. You know, you got a big handful of dice and you're just chucking them and trying to match symbols on something. What I liked more about it, personally, was that, you know, like we mentioned, the companions and the tools that you get throughout the game let you mitigate those dice and change it. So it's not just a luck fest. What did you two think of that?
There were a lot of dice, I have to say. No, I do like the way you can use your companions to either re-roll a dice or change a dice to be what you want it to be, if you need strength or you need energy, or I can't remember what the other symbols mean, but you know, you sometimes you need three of something or two of something, and you just don't get it in your first roll. I do like the way you can use your companions to do that. And as I said earlier, if a companion, so if you've got Susan and you're using the first doctor, sometimes she gives you even extra, you know, extra ways for you to win You can also help each other. You can ask for help from another doctor.
Yeah, that didn't come up that much in our games,
but
it is.
We didn't do it very often, but yeah. You can, yeah.
There's two ways to do it. You can go to the location with the other doctor, but the problem, you know, the fear of doing that, I guess, it's not really a problem, is if you still fail, you double the penalty on that dilemma.
Yes. The penalties were bad.
Yeah, they're all bad.
But I also didn't feel like the penalties came up very often, especially in our first game that we played through. It felt that we weren't being defeated by the dogs didn't seem to be much of a threat, I suppose, right?
Yeah.
That first game was a little eerie. We seemed to be able to roll exactly what we needed.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could.
Well.
But I mean, we all still got through it.
Didn't we think it was a little easy? And then the second we played another game and said, oh, this is how it's supposed to go.
Well, it wasn't because we were playing anything wrong. I think it was just luck.
No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have to say, and again, this is the first time we played through, and we were still learning and figuring out what to do. There's a lot of downtime when you're not the one rolling the dice. And especially if someone does have a lot of options to re-roll, to, you know, sort of manipulate it, their turn can get stretched out, and there does seem to be a lot of downtime. And as you said, the other doctors getting called in really doesn't happen that often.
I think because this was a semi-co-op, you had this sense of, like, you didn't want to necessarily help the other players, even though, like, thematically you should be helping the other players. You know, you're all the doctor to some degree.
True.
So
I know this is your theory about it, because you are all the doctor technically, and you keep saying it's a semi-cooperative game, but really it's not. There's one winner, and you can maybe help as the doctor, because some of the negative effects do affect everyone negatively, not just the person who loses against that monster or against that, you know, on that planet. Hmm. But it's still, you might be helping them to help yourself, and not so much helping them.
True.
To...
Right. If there's anomaly, if we got a time anomaly.
Yeah.
Then that sometimes that made things very difficult, because you couldn't. Either you couldn't turn your die, or you couldn't re-roll them, or it put a Dalek on, or it really slowed things down, so it made it difficult for everyone. And if that was going to happen, it was worth it for you to say to help the other doctor.
Yeah, are you talking about when the Dalek ship reaches the certain point and those anomaly cards came out? I think that's what they were called.
Yes.
Sometimes those would lock dice on us, so we couldn't use the green dice, or we couldn't use the, mm-hmm. you know, the red, I'm forgetting the colors now, the blue dice or something like that.
Red, blue, and green.
Yeah, that was always in everybody's best interest. Like, okay, we got to take care of that thing because it's really annoying and it's going to make it harder to win the other dilemmas.
Well, I should probably explain that the colors of the dice, certain dice have certain symbols on them. More, it's easier to roll that symbol on a color.
Right.
So the I guess it's strength, the one with the fist on it. There's more of those on the red one. There's more of the what do we call it? The atom one, the energy one on the blue, I think.
Yes.
And the green had the runners. So if you can't use a color, then you're relying on the black dice, which have every symbol, but of course only one time, and therefore it's going to be harder to get.
Yeah, you got a 1 in 6 chance of getting it versus, you know, like a green die, which might have the running symbol on it, you know, 2 or 3 times, whatever it is. I don't remember the ratios, but yeah.
So it was difficult when the colors got locked out. Mm-hmm. It becomes difficult to win. It is that, I find that is the weirdest part of the game, is the fact that you're kind of cooperating, but you're not cooperating, but somebody's going to win. It didn't make much... I'm not sure about that part.
I don't know if it's official, but there is you can play it as a fully cooperative game. You absolutely can. There other people who have played the game, you know, they say they play a fully cooperative variant. I don't know if that's a fan variant, you know, a player variant, or if it's official or not from Gale Force 9. Even when I talked to them at PAX Unplugged, I was speaking to the publisher, and I said, why is it a semi co-op? He didn't really have an answer, at least not one that was satisfactory to me. Because if I had one gripe about this game, it is that. I don't understand why it's why there's a one winner, why that element is there to make it any form of competition. The only way I get it is, okay, like, I can see the different personalities of the Doctor. Like, the Sixth Doctor, he's an arrogant jerk, so he would try to win. But he's not in this base game, so why is that there?
It should be a cooperative game because of, you know, the reason you said the Doctor is one person. These are just different iterations of the Doctor. So it should be a cooperative game. And for the most part, you play it like a cooperative game until you get to the end, and then it's cutthroat, and you say, "Oh, you're all going back, and I'm going forward." And,
yeah.
You know.
I mean, this isn't like Shadows over Camelot, where you're going to get betrayed by your wife at the very end.
Wow.
You know, it's.
How often do you bring that up on this show?
At least, I think I'm on 5 times now.
Well, you know, Zach, I sympathize. I know what it's like to be betrayed by your wife.
Oh man, I'm gonna have a reputation.
You are building one.
And in fact, in this game, you have that experience.
Yeah, exactly. That's the one.
Oh man.
He said semi-cooperative, and then I realized semi-cooperative meant not really that cooperative.
I know. Well, that's what I mean. It's very odd.
I agree.
Or the other. I don't really see how you play the whole game cutthroat, because you really do need to help each other,
right?
For those other reasons that we mentioned. But to all of a sudden at the, you know, you've got like 4 spaces left to get to Gallifrey, and then everybody's, oh well, I can use this card to send you two back, and I'll go forward one or whatever. I mean, it's just like it's all a free for all at the very end.
But yeah, you
Even
get these.
We've been cooperating for the entire board.
You get those timey-wimey cards that, like, there's one that, I think that's exactly what it does. You can choose, do you want to send your opponents back to, and you get to go forward to, or do you all want to move forward one? So you can be helpful, or you can be a jerk.
Listen.
I didn't mean that to say you're a jerk, Ness. But the idea is, like, when you get that card, you hold on to it. You know, you wait till the end of the game because that's when you're going to use it, right?
Yep.
But you know what else? It's the Daleks are not so much of a threat, even the second time we played it, that if it wasn't for competing against each other, there would sort of be this lack of challenge, I guess.
Hmm.
True.
Well, we did play, you weren't in that game, Ness, when we played it at the Super Bowl, if you remember, Mom. And the Daleks were definitely moving up on that one.
Yes.
So they became more of a threat. We're like, oh, crud, we actually have to deal with this. We had Daleks on multiple spots, and they were, you know, teaming up. And that's when they become a real problem. Because as you put out the Dalek tokens on the different locations, you are reduced in the number of dice you can use at that location. And if too many Dalek tokens come out, then you lose the game. Because once Davros comes out, that ends it.
Right.
So it started to creep up, like, oh, this could be a problem. Because we were getting arrogant about it almost. We were, you know, like, oh, the Daleks are never a problem. Oh, they can be. We were just getting some bad rolls.
I think we were just really lucky for the first two games that we played, in that they didn't become a problem.
Interesting. Oh, I guess I'll have to play it again.
I hope you do.
I mean, I do like it. I think it's a great game. I do enjoy playing it.
The theme is definitely the highlight of the entire game. And
yes.
The fan aspect of it. That the mechanics that they use and the reasons why they chose the mechanics that they use definitely, for me, is the highlight.
I was just going to say that I can see, you can tell by the different, the companion cards that they're going to bring out new doctors, because they refer to, say, the fifth doctor, I believe, and I can't remember which other ones they referred to, but
I think they refer to the eighth, the fifth, and the tenth, definitely.
Yes. So you know that they're going to be bringing those out. Otherwise, why did they bother putting them on the cards?
Well, I believe as of this recording, they've already announced the fifth and the tenth, who were originally supposed to be in this set, they're coming out next. And then I don't remember what the next grouping was. It was the second doctor and somebody else. I don't remember which one.
Well, it'll be fun to have. So when you mentioned, I think one of the things you said, Zach, was that you have to regenerate, and then everybody goes up one. One doctor. If you're the 12th doctor, you become the first doctor. If you're the first doctor, you become the fourth doctor, and so on. So it'll be interesting to throw more in the mix, because after a while, you know, you were each doctor like twice. Mm-hmm. It would be fun to have a different doctor to become, and then be able to use the abilities of your companions and some of the items that you can get with the timey-wimey cards. Some of the objects only work for those doctors.
Yeah, and with each doctor, you're going to get more tools and more companions who work with their respective doctor.
That'd be great, yeah.
Like, I'm wondering what the celery is going to do, you know?
Ooh. Many people wonder what the celery does.
He explains it in his last episode. He's allergic to stuff or something. I don't remember.
Yes, I believe it shows him if there are poisonous gases or something.
Which is totally what they planned, I'm sure. But the this game suffers from lack of content, I feel. Like, it's, you know, we've played it, I think I've played it four or five times now, and I'm ready for more. But I'm also curious, like, is this just going to add more dilemmas and more combinations of dice, or are they going to add more mechanics with it? You know, like, are we going to get expansions that aren't just more doctors, but also maybe a different element to change it up a little bit, so it's not the same mechanics over and over again? Because that's what I think of with an expansion, it adds more to it. But, you know, gives it a new twist, gives us a reason to have an expansion other than, you know, just more cards, you know?
What sort of mechanics do you think they could add to it?
I don't know at this point, but, I mean, I know going through Doctor's history, you know, they could add in, you know, the Suntarans maybe, and, you know, the Suntarans invade Gallifrey, stuff like that. Like, they could do some interesting stuff like that. Or the Cybermen, they are an invading army, you know, that could... you know, cyberform planets or cyberform your companions, even like they, you know, take humanity and turn them into themselves, right. You know, so there's a lot of interesting elements that they could play with here. I just don't know how to do it. I'm not that creative. I don't design games. I just, you know, hope for stuff to be in my games that make it fun.
Well, they do have 50 years to look back on, and say over 50 years actually to look back on it.
Maybe add in one of those omniscient, villains, you know, put in the Master, you know, like a single villain, or the Celestial Toymaker, or something like that. Something that can really mess with you and your, you know, your fellow doctors or your companions, you know, really change things up.
Kind of like the Thief in Settlers of Catan?
Yeah, something like that. The Master would be perfect for that.
Master could do that, sure.
Wasn't Missy a companion card or something? What was she? I know she was in there.
She was one of the dilemmas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it said, oh, Missy, you're so fine.
Yes,
oh, Missy,
that's
you're
exactly.
so fine, yeah. Yeah, she's a dilemma.
Okay. She has a dilemma.
I don't recall if any of the other Masters were in it. But
I don't remember seeing any of the other Masters, so that's a possibility. You could bring the, you know, the Roger Delgado doctor Master out, or... Anthony Ainley. Yeah, Ainley.
Yeah.
You could bring him out. I mean, so that would be another way of, he could come out and do something if you rolled a certain combination or whatever. That would work. Sure.
Could have a lot of fun with this. We should design a Doctor Who game.
Oh boy.
Okay. I would say we're about ready to wrap this up, but let's do a final roundtable. What you thought about it? Would you recommend it? And you know what you want to see come out of the game? How about Ness? You start.
Sure. So I thought this game was great. Again, the theme was spot on, and the mechanics associated with the theme were very spot on. I would recommend it for major Doctor Who fans. I don't think I would even recommend it for anyone who has no interest in Doctor Who. I don't actually, and we didn't really talk about that, but I don't know that if you don't like Doctor Who, or if you're not really familiar with Doctor Who, that it would be as much fun, or maybe even any fun to play. But for Doctor Who fans, absolutely, highly recommend.
Cool. I agree. It's not something that if you're not a Doctor Who fan, you're not going to get everything. So yeah, that's a good point. What about you, Ma?
Oh, no, I definitely agree. I mean, this is, I think you said it and in the very beginning, you said this is a love letter to Doctor Who fans. I mean, this is well researched. They've got somebody on their staff or, you know, is either a huge fan or they've got a bunch of people doing research, because all of it is it's well done. They've pulled out obscure episodes and characters, and the dilemmas are really well written. I just, you know, and I really enjoy the way the you can mix and match the items, the objects, you know, but they work better for their doctor. I mean, it works okay if that's not, you know, if that cane or that ring or that scarf doesn't belong to the 12th doctor, he can use it, but it works much better for the one it belongs to. And I like the way that works, but, you know, and I am, as you know, a huge fan of Doctor Who.
Arguably the biggest on this podcast.
I suppose. You're pretty close. but I agree. I don't, if you don't watch Doctor Who, I don't think you'd care for the game, because you wouldn't see any charm or any humor or any, you wouldn't say, oh, that is so neat, that is so cool, that is great. You know, you wouldn't even see any of those things. You'd just say, what am I supposed to do with this thing?
I like I said, I agree with that point. I mean, with any intellectual property game, that's gonna happen probably. I mean, I don't expect, if you know, the Wizards of the Coast announced a Transformers card game, I really don't expect Vanessa to want to play it. I might make her play it, but she's not gonna get the same, you know, joy out of it as I, you know, would or will. You know, it's just, that's not what happens. But when you do get a group of people who really like something, like, you know, there's Game of Thrones fans, for example. You know, I am not a fan of the show. I mean, we tried watching it and I've tried reading the books, but it's not my thing. But those games are hugely popular with Game of Thrones fans.
Sure.
So it's, and more power to them, especially if it's a good game. And I might play it and enjoy the game, but I'm not going to get the full enjoyment out of it because I don't know everything about that, you know, that show or that book.
No one knows everything about that show.
That's probably true. But Doctor Who has a 50-plus year history to it. So they have so much stuff they can draw on. I'm really excited to see where this game can go. They're either going to go this, you know, the boring safe route and just add in all the doctors and add in their references to their episodes, and it'll be good, and I will get them because I'm that crazy that I need all the doctors. And I want that, but I want to see more from this. I want to see the game evolve and get better and add more mechanics to it. But I do recommend this game. I mean, especially to Doctor Who fans. It's very fun. It's not just a good Doctor Who game. It's a fun game. But if the theme turns you off, there are other games that do this too. Like Elder Sign, for example, that's another dice rolling game. I'm not a huge Arkham Horror fan or Cthulhu fan. I liked the game. I like this better because this is a theme that I can get behind. So this is going to be my dice rolling game, you know?
I agree. I've played both. I played Elder Sign and I've played this game, and I certainly enjoy this game more. Elder Sign had so many little fiddly bits. But that was also a cooperative game, correct? Am I wrong?
Yeah, I think Elder Sign's completely cooperative.
Didn't we? Although, as I recall, the few times we've played it, we all, you know, we failed to defeat Cthulhu, and we all died.
That's true.
It's a difficult game.
I don't think we've ever beaten Elder Sign, but that's one of the games, you know, I donated to the library, so we'll have to go there and play it. But yeah, other than my gripe about it being, I don't think this should be a semi-co-op. In my mind, I play it as a fully cooperative game, which is probably why I haven't won it yet.
It's interesting that you say that and then you get mad when other people beat you.
I don't get mad when people beat me. I'm just pointing out I haven't won it.
I got some glares at the conclusion of the first game that we played.
It's because I was having post-traumatic flashbacks to Shadows Over Camelot. And I was torn because, I mean, I'm happy on the one hand that my wife has won a game, but she just betrayed my mother because you two were the clear in the race to win. I wasn't anywhere near you. But I think overall, we really enjoyed Doctor Who from Gale Force 9. And I want to see more from it, right?
Yes, definitely.
It was very enjoyable.
So I won't get in trouble when the expansions come out and I immediately buy them, right?
Can I just tell you, you're talking about how you hope they do more with this, and then you blatantly say, but it doesn't matter because I'm going to buy it anyway. So you're not really encouraging that, are you?
Well, I hope they do more creatively, but, I mean, you got to have the other doctors. I mean, it's Doctor Who. There's 13 doctors. Oh, we didn't even mention, I have the War Doctor, but apparently that's another gripe of mine, but it doesn't really matter. He came out as an exclusive at PAX Unplugged, and they're not going to give him a card or a way to play as him, which was a little upsetting. I don't know why.
You're going to make him your own card.
Yeah, maybe I'll get creative and make him his own card.
Good luck.
That way you can play. Well, he doesn't have any companions.
But they should make him solo, so he works better
be a
alone
bad
or something.
Companion.
You could make the moment.
Yes.
You know, you could probably do that. There are enough images online where you could make a couple of things for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Since you already have the figure.
I do.
Painted, right?
I painted it, yeah. I didn't finish painting the other two. I still have to paint the fourth and the first. Mm-hmm. But yeah. That is Doctor Who from Gale Force 9. And I think overall we all liked it.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
Anything else to add? Any plugs or projects or whatever?
Well, my library is doing a Comic-Con on September 29th. I know it's a long way away, but we're already planning.
Yeah. And I think you invited us, right?
I did. I'm hoping to have, this is our first Comic-Con. And we're hoping to have a vendor room, and we'll have panels. We'll have a board game room. I'm enlisting my entire family to do stuff for this.
You usually do.
Have you been enlisted, Zach?
He has been enlisted. I would like him to do a podcast and run the board game room.
Perfect.
We're going to have a full-size TARDIS. No promises whether it's bigger on the inside. And a DeLorean.
You're getting a DeLorean?
Yes, we're getting it for a couple hours. Yes, you'll be able to take a picture with a DeLorean.
Well, now I'm definitely going.
Well, I hope so. I mean, we're working hard on this. We're hoping to, like I said, we're hoping to have some vendors so people will have a chance to browse for things. We're going to have an art gallery. We have a band. Playing appropriately geeky stuff. It should be, you know, we're hoping it goes well because I'm pretty sure we're the first public library in Rhode Island to do something like this, but we have a good sized library and we have a lot of meeting rooms, so we can do it.
That's very exciting.
Yeah,
that's
it is
awesome,
exciting.
I think.
We're trying to, we're bringing someone in to talk about D&D. We're bringing someone in to talk about coding for video games. We're hoping to have something for the all ages, because our library-wide programs we try to do for all ages.
Will there be a bounce house?
That has not come up. Did you want a bounce house?
A TARDIS bounce house.
Ooh. If you find one, let me know.
I'm sure there's one available.
There's gotta be a bounce house somewhere in that TARDIS, right?
And we'll also, you know, encourage everyone to come and cosplay, and we'll do a, not a parade, but, you know, kind of like a walk. I don't think we'll do a costume contest, but everyone will have a chance to show off their costumes.
Cool. Yeah. I can't wait for this. This will be fun.
Oh, I hope so. We've been planning for a year now. I mean, you know, we started, last October. So it should be good.
Well, I know I reached out to the Fan Holes podcast, and they were they're definitely in to do some sort of recording. Not sure what, but at least one of them can be there because he also lives in Rhode Island, Mike. So
right. Well, I think it would be good if you talk about board games, but I know he's been on your podcast. You know, his is called Fan Holes, and so I mean, if you want to talk whatever you guys want to talk about, you could do it at the same time people are playing board games, and just kind of maybe have them ask you questions, or you know, you could do like a live sort of podcast maybe. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I mean, I think that would be kind of neat. So I should say my library is Cumberland Public Library, in case no one knows. Zach mentions my library a lot, but he doesn't say which one it is. So.
I do mention which one it is. All right, let's wrap this up. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this show, why not check out some of the other projects on the And All the Nerdy Fun Network, including Critical Failure, a show where a bunch of people with absolutely no experience with RPGs decide to sit down and try Dungeons & Dragons. Or Bored with Friends. It's a book club-style show where we just discuss things other than board games, like comic books, movies, TV shows, and just all sorts of pretty much anything, really. Also, check out our YouTube channel, In All the Nerdy Fun, where we're going to have video reviews of different board games, all the podcasts are available on there to listen to, and who knows what other projects might show up. If you really enjoyed this show, reach out to us on Twitter and let us know, @BoardWithFriend. Like us on Facebook, or give us an iTunes review, always helpful. Or head on over to our website, boardwithfriends.blogspot.com. Either way, thanks for listening.